Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I make some kick-ass banana bread.
Great introduction, DM. Was it extra delicious?
Yeah. Like, I make really good banana bread. It's full of chocolate chips. Standards? It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Chocolate chip banana bread. I will remember that in the future. Fantastic. I hate bananas and am ambivalent towards chocolate chips, but that does sound amazing.
Then I don't think you're maybe the right
market for this.
Market for my banana bread.
That is slightly possible now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me. We have a bunch of random crap to get to before this week's featured topic: movies about sharks.
Yep, it's Shark Week.
It is Shark Week, as
not
happens.
Not to be confused with actual Shark Week.
No. It's not... the AVOD Shark Week, which actually happens a couple of times a year, but you know.
Yeah.
Because there's
maybe
a
we should try to
do it on Shark Week next time.
Coincide with Discovery Channel Shark Week.
That would be good cross promotion in a way that we never think of.
Yeah.
When is there Shark Week?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. See, that's probably why we have such hard time figuring this stuff out.
I thought they did it like twice a year. Maybe it's just once a year.
Wouldn't that be Shark Weeks?
Well, no, it's like a biannual thing.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay, I understand now. All right. So yeah, you didn't mean like 2 weeks. Gotcha. So that maybe there's like Shark Week in November and Shark Week in April?
Something like that. Okay, I don't know if that's true. I'm making that up. I thought Roll Up the Rim was twice a year. Turns out it's not. So.
Oh.
There's a good chance I'm also getting confused about Shark Week.
Oh, that's so sad. All right, but before we get there, some quick stuff. Let's do the random crap. Just want to remind everybody, I watched half of the first episode, and I can confirm that What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, is every bit as charming as the movie it's based on.
Why did you only watch half of the first episode?
Because we got on this phone call.
Why didn't you just start watching it earlier?
Because I was on a treadmill. And I couldn't give a fair amount of attention to Matt Berry's amazing voice while I'm on a treadmill. I'll keep trying to watch the TV and I'll fall
off. Fair amount of attention to anything that you do. So.
Except for things that Matt Berry is in. I've been very clear about this in the past. Anything Matt Berry does, I'm there and I'm paying rapt attention. And I gotta say, he's amazing, as we knew he would be. I've only seen half of the first episode, but yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not as amazing as the movie, but it is well within its rights to use that title, and they're doing a good job with it so far. I hope that the people from New Zealand will cameo at some point, because, you know, Taika Waititi is, his name's all over it, and Jemaine Clement wrote the first episode, so fingers crossed.
Wouldn't that be weird to have them show up and not be?
No, they're not playing the same characters. I should have made that clear. Yes, they're playing entirely new characters who live in Staten Island, New York.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, no, it is not a continuation of the movie. And it is shot, in, of course, Toronto.
That means Matt Berry's in Toronto?
Yes, Matt Berry's in Toronto all the time. You picked the worst moment to leave Toronto.
I really did, didn't I?
Well, but on the upside, you did get to live in Toronto when Mads Mikkelsen was there, so, you know.
And I never saw him.
Not even once!
I figured out which bar he drank at, too! Damn it!
Only after he stopped drinking.
Actually, that is true, because Hannibal had rapped by that point, so.
No! Oh, such a tragedy.
Yes.
All right, next up, I believe you have an announcement to make?
Yeah, this isn't going to be meaningful to anyone out there, but just to you and me.
Okay.
I found out about this the other day. Mr. Godwin is retiring.
Oh, no. He was the best teacher there is.
The best teacher. We met in his class, so it's like kind of
he's
a big deal.
He's 100% responsible for us talking about movies for a decade on the internet.
Yeah.
Like that,
so
that's all
someone
him.
To blame.
Yeah, blame track Mr. him down. Godwin. Blame him. Oh. Well, I'm glad he's had like a full career teaching, and I hope all of his other students appreciated him as much as we did.
Well, all the messages on the announcement were like just people remembering Mr. Galwin, and everyone's like, he was the best teacher. I loved his class. I never had English with him. It was just Fina and Comtech. But yeah. Apparently you talk a kick-ass English class. So.
Oh, I never had English in his class either. I had it in the class of that drunk guy who...
Mr. Aldwinkle.
Yes, Mr. Aldwinkle. The one who was always drunk in class.
Yeah, he was weird.
And the other... And I had my other English class in a class with a teacher whose name I can't remember, who I'm like, who I did the teacher's assistant 1 year for, and then halfway through the year he was thrown out of the school in some kind of a scandal.
Ooh, and, Mr. Adams.
Oh, is that what his name was?
Okay. Yes. And they were butts, Aldwinkle and Adams.
Oh, I'm not surprised. but anyway, I was, and then I was just kind of had to sit around for the rest of the year, not being graded. It was a weird year.
What year was that?
I think my last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a messed up school sometimes. Some
weird shit went down at that school.
And then I got sued that same year by
Someone
a teacher.
Got stabbed in the cafeteria.
That was actually a really weird day. Like I had been over at somebody's house for lunch. We walked back into the door and there's two police cars out front. And like, what happening? And the student's like, somebody got stabbed inside. And me and my friend were like, oh, well, we're just not going to afternoon classes. Just leave.
I never spent any time in the CAF because like none of,
I don't know anyone who did.
That's just it. So it's like, it was a weird thing to hear that somebody got stabbed in the cafeteria. Like,
my first reaction was, wait, we have a cafeteria? Are you sure?
And like we sat in the hall at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And like sort of the news, I guess, sort of filtered up from the CAF, which was in the basement. And like we're all sitting around in the hallway. It's like, someone got stabbed. We're like, no, they didn't. Like,
are you crazy?
It was a weird experience.
Yeah, it was a strange day.
Not
the kind of thing they make movies about, but it was definitely a weird day. Let's move on. To Comic-Con.
Yeah, so this past weekend was Ottawa Comic-Con, which I have never been to. Mm-hmm. So I went with a friend of mine, and it was her first convention ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was fun. It's small. Yeah. It's a small convention. But I got to see Ron Perlman.
Yay. Oh, did he do a speech, or was he just there signing?
It was Q&A.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like this.
Did he A your Q?
I didn't A, so.
Oh, I'm sad now. Would love to ask him plenty of questions about Beauty and the Beast.
There weren't really any questions about Beauty and the Beast whatsoever.
Oh, that's too bad. I love that show growing up.
A lot of questions about Sons of Anarchy.
Of course, yeah. God, it's so sad that he's going to be remembered for Sons of Anarchy.
A lot of people really like that show.
No, I know, and that's what's sad. But did he tell any really memorable stories? Anything really stick with you?
Okay, so somebody asked about Kronos.
Oh, such a good movie.
It's a great movie. And yeah. I think it was like me and him, like the two people in the audience who like even know that movie. Anyway, So he tells a story about how he ended up in like being in the film.
Okay.
And he got a letter from Guillermo del Toro, like a handwritten letter, which he still has.
Wow.
And he had written to him, and like, he didn't sort of tell us exactly what was in the letter, but Del Toro talked about how he'd watched a lot of Ron Perlman's movies because he was always in a lot of makeup, and Del Toro was learning makeup and creature effects, but there's nowhere to do that in Mexico. So he just like been studying movies to kind of learn about
and
stuff.
How it should look on film. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And then like, I guess sort of how a person moves and acts under all of that stuff.
Ah.
So Ron was like, really detailed letter and said that, you know, he's getting ready to make his first movie. Would you be in it?
Oh, my God.
So Ron Perlman's like, okay, well, like, you know, let's have dinner. Let's take a meeting.
Yeah.
So they go out for dinner and he's like, it's the dinner that sold me because he said, I like to eat dessert first. Ron Perlman's like, man after my own heart. I'll be in your movie.
Oh, that's so amazing. and they've worked together for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It has been a fruitful collaboration.
Yeah. So that was good. I saw Catherine Tate. She was great.
Oh, yay.
And Mark Sheppard. And that was really weird.
Oh, I love Mark Sheppard. Why was that weird?
Well, he comes on stage. No introduction. He just walks on stage.
People are like, why is this weird, unshaven man on stage?
Oh, people just, I mean, they recognize, he's a recognizable person. And there's no, for all the three panels that I went to, Ron Perlman had a moderator, but there was no actual discussion. It's just questions from the audience for whole 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So Mark Sheppard just kind of walks out on stage, and there are a bunch of people lined up with the two different microphones. And he just sort of starts wandering around in the audience and stuff. And every now and then he'll be like, okay, what do you want? Like, to the person at the microphone.
Okay.
And if he doesn't like the question, he'll just shut it down. So it's like, at what point does this stop being a joke? And are you just a little frustrated with this whole scene?
Experience, yeah.
Because it's like, you get asked the same question all the time, and I get that it gets tiresome, which maybe is why you might want to have a moderator, so you can have the discussion where you hit your talking points. You can make it very clear to the audience that you are not Crowley. You're an actor who plays Crowley. Don't ask me questions about Crowley. There was a lot of that. He's like, that's a question for the writers.
Yep. Why does Crowley do X, Y, or Z? I just read words off of a page.
Yeah. What if Crowley were the president? Well, I don't.
Again, so America would be no different.
We could take up with writers.
Oh.
So it was, that was weird. Too bad. Weird experience.
I am actually sad to hear that, because I really do like Mark Sheppard.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his, and I'm sad that he's not really into the fan engagement. But you know what? Not everybody has to be, right? Like, there's always going
to
be some people.
Why
do you ever come to the conventions? Yeah. And you're right to say that a good moderator there would have prevented that from ever getting awkward. Like, that's the thing. Like, having a good moderator could get over his reticence to really work with people.
But not even that, like just the idea that if you've done this for so long and you hear the same questions all the time, that's why you have your discussion with your talking points.
Yeah, and make sure
actually you can get all that shit out of the way.
Right
and
away.
If somebody comes up with a question, it's like, well, I already talked about that, so let's not use up all of this precious time answering your stupid fucking question.
Also, and I think this is a key thing, if you've got a moderator there and you get a dumb question, you've got the moderator to be the bad guy and shut the question down.
Exactly.
That's also a huge thing. So, yeah. All right. I'm a little sad about that, but what are you going to do? did anything else of note happen?
Yes.
Wow.
Set up because something really amazing did happen to me.
Okay.
I had my own little celebrity moment because I ran into someone who listens to True North Crime.
What?
She got really excited.
That's amazing. I mean, it's not a surprise. It's a really fun show, but that's great.
Oh my God. That was so much fun.
Oh, yay. Did you sign her True North, North Crime hat?
Oh, we don't have any merch. She took a photo. She's like, can I get a with you? Like,
of course.
Yeah. That was really exciting.
That's amazing. Congratulations. And True North Crime is fantastic. If you like brutal descriptions of pregnant women being murdered.
We haven't done any pregnant murders.
Yeah, there was the one. You remember the guy with the... Oh, no, wait. She had the kid. You're right. She'd had the kid. No, it was the new mother who got murdered by her terrible comic book making husband.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot that thank God she wasn't pregnant. Ugh. Yeah. Such a disgusting story. Yeah, that one shook me for a while. Yes. I'm pretty good about true crime stories, but that one stuck with me.
Yep, that's a rough one.
But no, congratulations, that was fantastic. How did it come up?
Weirdly, because I was chatting with a vendor who sells dog merch, and she does merch for a couple of other podcasts, and she has horror-specific dog merch, like really cute stuff.
Okay.
And I bought a couple pins, and one of the pins was Silver Shamrock. So she recognized him, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So we're talking about horror movies, and then she's like, well, do you like True Crime? Because there's a lot of overlap. I'm like, yeah, I like True Crime. And then I plugged True North Crime.
Of course you do. You got to ask people to listen to the podcast.
And then this other woman walks up to the table just to look at the merchandise. And then she, like, we're talking true crime, so she got sucked into that conversation because she's also a true crime fan.
As is literally 70% of the people on Earth.
And then the woman selling the merch is like, she points to me. She's like, well, she hosts a podcast. Like, she pitched it to this other woman. And then, yeah.
And then she finds out and she's like, well, what?
That's pretty much it.
Oh, that's great. No, seriously, congratulations. We probably should have saved this for Narcissism Watch because we've just spent 5 minutes talking about how awesome you are. But you are awesome, and I don't regret any of our decisions.
Neither do I. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, that was fantastic. Oh, man, I'm very proud of you. That sounds amazing.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have...
Jeopardy.
Yes, it finally happened.
Now you want to show off, so...
Well, no, it's not showing off. It's just the most amazing thing happened. I don't know if you know this about me, but when I was watching Jeopardy... When I watched Jeopardy... When they do my joke to myself is when they announce the final Jeopardy category, I will announce what the question is. So, you know, what the final answer is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I have never been right until...
Okay.
I was watching one of the old college tournaments on, Netflix, and it was, I think, from 2012 or something. And so the category was, Shakespearean characters. So like I turned to Laser Writer. I'm like, the question is, who is Falstaff?
That was actually it. Oh my God.
I'm like, I don't know how that happened, but that happened.
Why did you go with Falstaff?
It's the funniest name. It's just a memorable name. Well, I was just guessing that it had to be someone who was, you know, well known enough that college students would get it, but still, you know, is not the titular character in a play or the villain in a play or the love interest in a play.
Okay.
So, and then the next rung down is Falstaff. And okay,
of course.
Within my head, the next rung down is Falstaff because you got your Henry, you got your King Henry, and then a little farther down, you got Falstaff.
Uh-huh.
And the answer was, he has been the only character to be in 3 plays, 2 histories and a comedy. So there you go. And I'm like, it worked out pretty well. But yes, so it actually happened. My dream Jeopardy question finally happened.
Oh, that's exciting.
I was very excited. Seriously though, it was great. Next up.
Video game.
Damn right. I just wanted to tell people, I talked a couple of years ago about Darkwood, the super intense top-down survival horror title. Well, it has finally come out on consoles as well as on PC. It's available now on the PS4 and I think Switch, but I would have to check on that. So you can hear me talk about it on another episode earlier, but it's gritty, it's Lovecraftian, it's about twisted Poland in the modern, well, 80s, but you know, modern setting, ravaged by the plague. It's a forest that changes and grows, and it's really disgusting, really interesting, and I would encourage anyone who likes cosmic horror and gritty horror to check it out. Darkwood.
Cool.
All right. Now?
A list.
I believe you have a list!
I do. Okay, so this week's list, in keeping with our Shark Week theme, is the 15 worst shark-themed movies of all time.
Oh.
So we are counting down from 15.
Okay.
Beginning with The Last Shark.
I definitely saw this on Amazon Prime when I was going to watch this week's movie, so I'm so curious what this
really?
Is about.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the first, I typed in shark, because I thought, how many shark movies can there be? A lot is the answer. There are so many. I had to go back to the keyboard and type in House Shark, because there were just so many shark titles.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, like the first thing that came up was The Last Shark.
Oh, okay.
All right. So what is it?
Oh, what does it say here? A rogue great white threatens a beachfront community's tourism event. While shady politicians try to keep the beaches open, a professional shark hunter and a handsome leading man are tasked to destroy the shark. Of course, the grizzled old sea captain gets bit in half and the star saves the day by blowing up the shark. So it's basically Jaws.
Oh my God, an exact remake of Jaws?
Yeah.
Well, that happens a lot, to be fair, but wow. Okay. Next up.
Number 4, piranha shark.
What? I am intrigued. Tell me more. Shark-sized body, face of a piranha?
Piranha shark borrows directly from the Sharknado playbook. Take an absurd plot carried by cheeseball dialogue, throw in plenty of bad CGI sharks, and season with superfluous celebrity cameos. In the case of piranha shark, great white sharks are genetically modified to be the size of sea monkeys on steroids. Predictably, these nano sharks get loose in the city's water supply and evade people's bathtubs and margaritas, ultimately eating their way, their way through their victims' faces. Luckily, derelict exterminators figure out that the sharks can be killed using Goldschläger.
What?
How does that make them piranhas?
No, because they're the size of piranhas, I think is what they're saying.
Yeah, but a piranha isn't actually, like, that. The title doesn't make sense.
Okay, I'm not going to debate that. You're absolutely right, but I'm going to stop trying to defend this. You're totally right.
Why? You're defending the indefensible here.
No, it is indefensible. You're totally right. I apologize. Continue. That's next up.
Number 13, Shark Lake.
Oh my God, we're going to be talking about Shark Lake, and as mean as we're going to be in a few minutes, I can't imagine calling it the worst of anything. Except for maybe the CGI that we're going to discuss.
Yeah, whoa. Okay, number 12, Raging Sharks.
Please tell me it's about shark boxing.
Oh my God.
If only.
What does it say here? The film was originally titled Space Sharks.
What?
Imagine the disappointment when audiences found out that this isn't a movie about sharks attacking astronauts. Instead, the plot involves a swarm of sharks that go into a maniacal frenzy after they encounter a piece of alien spaceship and begin attacking an underwater research station.
That sounds amazing! Although the weird part is, I would have been happier if it was not sharks battling astronauts, but if it had literally been like alien sharks from another planet that were like...
If you say the word space shark to me, that's what I'm gonna think.
Me too, right?
That's sharks first... in space.
No, of course not. It would be sharks from space. Yeah, that would be my first thought.
Yeah.
So it's like, imagine, right? Okay, just pitch open, like, opening crawl. It has been scientifically proven that many kinds of fish that can survive being flashed frozen in ice and live on for hundreds, even thousands of years until they're thawed. ... Meteorites are almost completely made out of ice. And then you see a meteorite falling from the sky, crashing into the sea, and like an alien shark wakes up and now he's on Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, dear Sci-Fi Channel, we'll take our money now. How is that not already a movie? Why are we having to come up with this movie?
This isn't the first time we've done this, actually. For the Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay, so tomorrow we call the Sci-Fi Channel. We say two words, space sharks. An alien shark terrorizes a fishing boat off the coast of Panama. There, done.
Right, just leave them a voicemail.
Okay. Next up.
Number 11. Oh, you're not going to be happy about this. Empire of the Sharks.
Oh, I wanted to see this so badly when I saw the premise.
Well, you can still watch it.
I know, but it's Waterworld, but with a weird focus on sharks for no reason I can understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a movie whose entire premise revolves around remote-controlled sharks, oh my God, Empire tends to take itself way too seriously. Oh, that is a problem. Even more surprising is that it may not even be the worst movie in its own franchise.
What, there's more?
Empire of the Sharks is actually the sequel to Planet of the Sharks.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay, now we're definitely, I mean, maybe not for the show, but I gotta see both of those movies.
Okay.
All right, go.
Number 10, Shark Killer.
Oh, that's not a very good title.
Not at all. Mm. What does it say here? After a diamond thief is eaten whole by Great White during a botched robbery.
What was he robbing? That a shark was able to eat him. Yacht, super yacht, super yacht where a diamond show was being held. You know what? That's what it was.
A South African crime lord recruits the shark killer, Chase Walker.
Is that the actor's name or the character's name? Wait, I don't care.
It doesn't matter. To no, track down the killer shark and cut the diamond out of its stomach before it can poop out the gem in the middle of the ocean.
For some reason, didn't we watch a movie where like a bunch of art thieves were battling a shark? Don't you remember like their art ended up at the bottom of a lake, but there were like a bay and the sharks in the bay and they had to fight the sharks and it was god awful?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel
about.
Like that was a movie we watched. It's not this movie.
I think it was.
No, it was because it was the same week we watched the... No, it was... I know it was because it was the same week we watched the movie about the satanic shark.
What?
I don't know how...
You did not
I don't
watch
know how movie. You've forgotten both of these movies.
Because
but
it
I'm
didn't
kind of...
happen.
All right. Well, we'll do a fact check on this later. Next up.
All right. Number 9, post-apocalyptic commando shark.
Okay, sold. Done.
Do you want me to read?
No,
to
no,
you?
Yeah, no, tell me, because it's like, I take my money. Like, I'm there for that.
During a nuclear holocaust, the Russians try to invade America with an army of half-shark, half-human super soldiers.
Wow.
This actually seemed like a promising premise to the shark-themed world of cinema. Then you realize that a bunch of middle schoolers with a camera phone could make a better movie than this one. Ouch.
Oh, that's so mean, especially when, well, we're going to talk about half-shark in a second. oh, that's so sad. Such a good premise. All right, next up.
Number 8, shark babes.
Okay.
Alrighty. This
I'm
might
instantly
be a Rule
suspicious.
34 thing. Hold
oh,
on.
Oh no.
Yeah. Alright, you know what? We're just gonna skip it.
Alright, sorry shark babes. You don't deserve being talked about in this ridiculous conversation we're having.
Ooh. Oh, so I read this at 7.5. It's just entry number 7.
Okay.
5-headed shark attack.
Oh, now you've only seen 6, right?
We had this long conversation in which I can't remember whether or not I've seen 5-headed shark attack.
Or 6-headed shark attack.
No, I know for a fact I've seen 6-headed shark attack because I've talked about it.
But the fact that they're all the same movie makes it hard to tell which one you've seen.
Oh, it says here, when the titular shark first appears on screen, you might feel a bit cheated since there are only 4 heads. So I guess I haven't seen it.
No, wait. Does it grow 2 heads over the course of the film?
The spoiler alert, the 5th head is actually its tail.
Oh, right. It's 5-headed. Sorry. So wait, later in the film, the tail will grow another, will turn out to have teeth. That's kind of amazing. All right. I'm kind of excited about that one.
Oh, no. But apparently Danny Trejo is in 3-headed shark attack.
Wow.
Well, I've seen 2-headed shark attack.
Yeah, no, that's the only one we've watched. 2-headed shark attack. The one where the shark was however big the scene required it to be.
I think that's true for all of these movies.
All of them?
It happened in 6-headed shark attack.
Okay. It's kind of a theme in the films, I guess. All right. Next up.
Number 6. Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus.
Okay, well that's just a legitimately good movie. I mean, not good, but, I mean, if you want a super dumb thing to watch, you can do a lot worse than Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus. It's one of those movies that's profoundly dumb, knows exactly what it is, doesn't take itself too seriously, but knows that if it treats it all like a joke, it won't be any fun to watch. I'm again looking at you, House Shark. so yeah, I had a good time with that one. I really did. I like that movie.
Okay. Number 5, Mako, The Jaws of Death. That's from 1976.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mako, The Jaws of Death. Okay. I had never heard of that, but now I'm interested. Is it just another ripoff of Jaws?
I don't know. This movie gets it all wrong from the very beginning, starting with the title. Despite Mako being in the title, there isn't a single Mako shark in the entire movie.
What are you doing to me, movie?
Oh, no.
I'm trying to be kind.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's so sad. Mako, Jaws of Death.
Okay. So, a brooding tough guy has a mystic medallion which he uses to communicate with sharks.
I'm completely on board.
He uses his power to become the protector of all sharks in the Florida Keys.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Instead of being a sympathetic hero, the lead character comes off as a full-blown sociopath.
Oh, okay.
That uses his mind-controlled sharks to murder freshmen, strippers, and marine biologists.
Jesus crackers! Okay, I did not see that turn coming.
That's hilarious.
Oh my god. Wow. All right. Yeah, oh. So no. Maybe no to that one.
Number four, I thought this was a joke when my friend told me about it. Shark Exorcist.
No, that's the movie we watched.
I have not seen this.
We definitely did. But anyway, to read the description.
A demonic nun summons Satan to
his we watched this movie on the show. Like, 100% we watched this. Like, I know it's disappeared from your head as it happens sometimes. We watched Shark Exorcist. And I feel like Shark Heist was the other movie we watched that week. Although it probably wasn't called Shark Heist. Although now, we're also going to pitch Shark Heist.
So, are you heisting a shark? Or are you using a shark in your heist?
Oof.
Right?
That is something we're going to have to spitball later. I feel like we should be heisting a shark and then the shark gets loose.
Uh-huh.
And then all hell breaks loose because it was actually a shark from space. That's right. Stealth sequel to Space Sharks.
Whoa.
You didn't realize until half an hour in it was actually a sequel to Space Shark. Twist.
Okay, number three. Sand Sharks.
Oh, we've seen sand sharks, right?
Have we?
Well, read the thing.
One major plot flaw of any shark-themed horror movie is that, barring meteorological intervention, the danger of getting eaten ends at the water's edge. Sand Sharks solves that problem by enabling the sharks to travel under the surface of the sand as easily as they could underwater.
Yay. We might not have seen this, I just might be remembering that it's the original premise of Tremors.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen this.
Probably not. All right, next up.
Number two. Oh my god.
What?
Ghost Shark 2, Urban Jaws.
They made a second Ghost Shark?
Yes, they did.
How?
Wow. I don't know.
How? That's insane that they made a second Ghost Shark. Like,
it's better than the original.
Well, that would not be challenging.
It says here it's actually sort of impressive. Like its predecessor, a Phantom Elasmo branch returns to wreak havoc on seaside community in New Zealand. All the ghost shark needs to kill is for a person to come into contact with water, including water-based lube and shower steam. You know, we're like 80%.
Wow. Yeah, like, I don't know why you have to pretend there's other water. Just all humans are made out of water. It's fine. Oh, God, I can't believe they made Ghost Shark 2.
Wow.
Although, weirdly, the thing is, this list is not really an attempt to be the definitive list of worst, because you just said this was better than Ghost Shark. So unless the number one is Ghost Shark, you've kind of violated your own rules of your list.
No, the number one is Jaws 3D.
No, come on, that's not that bad a movie.
It's not that bad. It's not good, but it's not
good.
It's not like...
It's silly. I mean, it's not up to the level of Jaws or Jaws 2, but Jaws 4 is so much worse than Jaws 3.
Is that when the revenge?
Michael Caine, yes.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You have to. I don't want to oversell Jaws 4, the revenge.
Because in Jaws 3, the son is grown up, right?
Yeah, and both of them, the son is grown up. It's the son both times.
Oh, I really don't remember anything about Jaws 2 and Jaws 3.
3 is a water park. Well, you know, 2, the son's kind of grown up because he and his friends are out on a regatta, like just taking all their boats out together to have a party and then the shark attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Jaws 3, the son is now Dennis Quaid and has gotten a job at a water park and they're attacked by sharks. And there's a British guy who's like fame hungry and wants to kill the shark and... Well, that showed up in a movie we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh my god, here's a list of other shark movies.
But
just
it's just
honorable mention.
Oh.
Oh my god, are you ready for this?
I am.
Land Shark, Ice Sharks, Sharknado 4, Shark Zone, Raiders of the Lost Shark, Deep Blue Sea 2, Red Water, Sharkosaurus, Jersey Shore Shark Attack, Shark in Venice, Trailer Park Shark, Jurassic Shark, Jurassic Shark 2, Deep Blood, House Shark, Toxic Shark, Shark Kill, Shark Attack in the Mediterranean, Nazi Sharks, Ice Sharks, Shark Attack.
Whoa, stop, stop. You need to stop. Wait, you just said Nazi Sharks.
I did.
What?
Avalanche Sharks, 90210 Shark Attack, Nightmare Shark, Open Water 2, Sharktopus, Shark Knight, Swamp Shark, Dam Shark, Super Shark, The Last Jaws, Shark Swarm, Psycho Shark, Shark Man.
Oh my god.
Really hard to say those really fast.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yes, Nazi Sharks.
I need to know more about Nazi Sharks. Just putting that out there. I desperately need to know more about Nazi Sharks.
I don't know enough about Nazi Sharks, to be perfectly honest.
Really? You're not that curious about the Nazi Sharks?
Well, again, we face the same problem as Heist Shark or Shark Heist.
That's true. Are they
sharks who are Nazis?
Right.
Or Nazis genetically engineer mutant sharks?
Almost definitely the second one.
Not sharks who are Nazis.
No, they're probably not super political sharks. Okay. If I'm guessing, and I am guessing, I'm going to say probably not the sharks are super political. Just putting that out there. And I'm not saying your pitch isn't better, that the sharks have, you know, become fascists. That's a good pitch too. But I'm just saying, likelihood, probably, you know, the Nazi genetically engineered sharks. And it's like shock waves, but now it's shark waves.
Oi.
Yeah, I'm not proud of myself either. So you didn't have to do that, oi. Now you know what, you did have to do the oi. I deserved it. Okay. That is an epic list. It sounds like no one can ever make any more shark movies. Do you think that they're going to make more shark movies? And is there some way to find out?
Well, they probably are. Sharks are really hot right now. but I wouldn't know because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Rock, Paper, Scissors, and it's not about sharks.
Oh my god, is it like those Truth or Dare movies, but about rock, paper, scissoring?
You wish.
Oh, okay, what is it?
The film is about Peter Harris, aka the Dollmaker, a serial killer who returns to his ancestral family estate after being released from the state hospital for the criminally insane after 20 years. Cured man.
What's
inside the old house? Anguished memories from a tortured childhood and visitations from past victims shake Peter's resolve. But it isn't until the lovely young Ashley enters his life that Peter makes a fateful decision. One that rekindles old desires that always have ended in murder.
Ooh!
Murder most foul.
That is the best kind of murder.
I don't know why it's called Rock, Paper, Scissors. It was once a point called Rock, Paper, Dead. Which is...
We all know which is... Well, yeah, but that's obviously the better title.
But, like, neither title really seems to have anything to do with the plot.
We don't know, though. I still think he might have been committing murders themed around the game of Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Like if they lose... But he's called the Dollmaker.
Yes. And the dolls themselves were Rock, Paper... You know what? I'm not going to try to defend this anymore.
So...
I have a bad habit of trying to defend these things, and I've got to learn my lesson. Okay. Stop it.
I don't know if this is better or worse, but it's directed by Tom Holland.
What?! Oh. The Tom Holland, not a Tom Holland.
The Tom Holland, not Spider-Man.
Oh, right. Spider-Man's also named Tom Holland. I forget that.
Right. I got really confused. I'm like, Tom Holland is Spider-Man. I'm like, Tom Holland? Like, it took me a while to figure out that we're talking about two different people here. Because I don't pay attention to things.
Damn.
So directed by Tom Holland, co-written by Victor Miller.
What? That's crazy.
Michael Madsen is in it, who plays Detective Doyle Deckard.
You know we're definitely watching this movie, right?
But I don't want to.
Oh, you watched House Shark? You can watch this.
I don't.
This is definitely going to be shorter than House Shark.
House Shark is 2 hours long. Everything is shorter than House Shark. Ha 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 ha!
Speaking of, House Shark is a movie we watched.
Yep, it sure is.
No one can deny that.
Here, shall I synopsize for you?
Please.
It's basically Jaws, but set in a house. The synopsis concludes.
Oh, God. All right, so what happens when people who have the skill and maturity level of internet sketch comedians decide to make a feature film and aren't willing to put in any more effort than they would to a 5-minute YouTube short?
Well, here's the thing. This is what I told you, and I stand by this comment.
Please.
That it wouldn't have been better if they didn't feel it necessary to include all of the jokes.
It thinks it's a comedy. But the problem is, if you want to be a comedy. Well, no, but I'm saying, my problem, you're right. I shouldn't have said it thinks. It knows it's a comedy, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a big problem. If any of the characters had taken the situation seriously for even a moment, this could have been kind of an interesting movie. Cause it would have been, like, imagine if these characters are taking this ludicrous situation seriously. You might have had something here, but everyone is doing ridiculous jokes all of the time. And it hurts it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it really hurts it.
But it's also just, like, some of the jokes I thought were kind of funny sometimes.
Every now and then, sure.
But it is really immature, childish toilet humor.
Yeah, and that's all it has.
Which is a little bit of a problem, because I'm a grown woman. And to the point where it's like, it's just disgusting and not funny.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you on that one. And it's like, so, I get what you're doing here. Like, as I'm watching, I'm like, I get what you're doing here, but you know, I'm not laughing and I'm not going to start laughing.
Yeah.
So if you don't find this kind of stuff funny, you know, just endless, endless jokes of people reaching up asses. Like, if you find the whole concept of someone sticking their finger into someone else's ass
hilarious,
this is the movie for you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't see any, like, inherent hilarity in that, I don't know that this movie has literally anything to offer.
Well, there's that one guy who is just hamming it up. Like, no one's ever hammed anything up. Like, it just...
He really does ham it up, I'm not gonna lie.
And he's having a great time doing it, and it's actually kind of entertaining. Like, it's an entertaining performance.
Yeah, like I have to assume we're talking about the Quint character.
Yes.
Yeah, the Quint character, I just wanted to make sure we were not talking about the guy who's German, but then he's not German.
Is he German? He's not really German?
That was god awful. But no, the Quint character, he's like, I know what movie I'm in. And he is held back by either the script or bad improv skills from time to time. But he is so beautifully over the top in his performance that I really respected him as an actor for just going for it to that extent.
Yeah.
Because he really does go for it. Like, he is so far over the top.
He is reaching for the stars, that guy. Yeah.
He has the fakest beard in the world.
Yep.
Just the fakest beard in the world.
He makes a joke about at the very end of the movie. During the credits, actually.
Yeah, like right at the end.
Like, okay, we're drawing attention to it now.
But yeah, we know.
But then there's some weird stuff in the movie that I just don't understand. So there's like the realtor, like the guy who owns the real estate company.
Yeah.
He has, like, sometimes in the background, there's a guy dressed as like a Union soldier or something in a weird zombie pose?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I was going to ask you if you got what they were going for.
I don't know what that's about.
I think it's just, like I said, it's just weirdness for the sake of weirdness.
Weird? Okay.
Yeah, they found it strange. They wanted to put a strange thing on the screen. They did put a strange thing on the screen. And that's all the thought they put into it. Like, and the thing is, so at one point he's like, I'll send a Sith Lord to deal with this shark.
My question to you, was that racist?
Yes, it was.
I didn't know if it was racist or not.
Well, also, that's the thing is,
does it matter? Is that question worth asking?
Actually, that is the correct answer. It doesn't matter whether it's racist or not. I mean, it is racist, but fundamentally you're right that it doesn't matter that it's racist. This movie, I mean, this, it is only bad that it is racist in that it adds to the, like, the din of, you know, just racism that floats around us all of the time. That is the only degree to which it's bad. This film is not smart enough to have any, like, truly negative views or effects on anyone.
Be offensive, like, yeah.
So it is not harmful.
Send in a Sith Lord named Darth Tonto.
Oh.
So it's like this Native American guy who's got mystical powers. Well, he's a Sith Lord. He has Darth Vader powers.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be like this specialist at killing sharks or whatever, and then immediately gets eaten by the sharks. It's like, yeah. All right.
We've seen that joke a million times, so, but we get what you're doing here. Yeah, like but that's the thing. It's like, that is the level of their jokes. And then they have and it's like, they bring in a shark expert who has a secret. And then there's a running gag about the guy, whose house it is, you know, why he quit the force. He never gets the chance to actually tell the story of why he quit the force, because he is, you know, they set it up to be the joke about you know, the diehard he shot a kid thing, but they never get around to him telling the story. They just hint at it. By the way, weirdest joke in the movie, ending on a reference to Terminator 2.
The explosion?
No. The German guy is, we find out he's still alive, and he's lying bleeding to death. It's gonna burst out, but what does he say? I don't know how long I can hold this.
Right.
And that is Miles Dyson's last line. Yeah, in Terminator, when he's holding holding the weight over the detonator.
But he even makes that connection because he's clearly
it's alien. Yeah, but then he says the line from Terminator 2, and I'm like, that is an out of nowhere reference to make in a situation so completely different than the individual situation. That I'm like, did you think anyone was going to get this reference?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's a weird way to end the movie. But, I mean, of course, it also sets up for a sequel, which hopefully will never happen.
So this guy, there's a shark that, like, lives in the walls of his house.
Yeah.
And eats a naked girl on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that movie. And he's afraid to live in the house. And the bank, I guess, is going to foreclose or something. A real estate company has decided it's going to sell the house, but he refuses to let anybody view the house because of the shark. So,
which is quite reasonable.
Absolutely reasonable, but everybody thinks it's crazy because sharks don't live inside houses. But he, like, finds this, like, house shark expert on the internet, and then this Quint guy shows up, and he's like, oh, I've dealt with house sharks before. So the three of them lock themselves inside of the house to hunt and kill the shark. And it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
And it goes.
Yeah, they really make you wait for it, don't they? And then when you get there, was it worth the wait? No.
No.
It profoundly was not worth the wait when you get there. But yeah, and that's the thing. It's like they just hang out and we get these terrible jokes, these terrible scatological jokes. Like, the one thing I found, well, okay, there's a couple of decent jokes in the movie. The one joke I genuinely liked in the entire movie was, and this is probably gonna sound silly, but the fact that, like, they were showing the house again, and no one had cleaned up the dead body in the bathroom at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was weird.
It's like the bathroom was just full of blood and gore and, you know, caution tape. I don't know why, but I genuinely liked that joke. It was barely a joke, but I'm like, that's actually pretty funny. And what was the other one? Oh, there was something else that, I mean, it wasn't good again, per se. There was one. Oh, yes. Was it a joke when the guy's like, check around upstairs. There's 5 bedrooms. I'm like, that house has 5
bedrooms.
That
was weird.
Yeah. And it's like,
I think that was meant to be a joke.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was a joke about, you know, the guy being desperate to sell the house or who's just outright lying about what the house's features were. Because he's like, because he's going to get killed by his boss if he doesn't sell the house. But you don't actually think that was a joke.
I don't think that was a joke. Also, okay. One of the bedrooms might have been on the ground floor.
Oh, okay. But even still, like, that's not a big house at all. Like, it's just not a big house. So I thought that was a joke, but I might have been wrong about that.
I honestly don't know. To be perfect, really.
It's hard. With this film, it's also inept. It's hard to tell what's a joke and what's just a bad movie.
Does it really matter?
Okay. So I guess what we're trying to say is, we respect that you put in the effort to make a movie, makers of House Shark, but you did make a good movie or one that was worth watching. So we can only be so respectful.
Yeah. And like, it does the thing where nothing exists beyond the frame, which I think is hilarious and has the potential for some great jokes.
Oh yeah.
I also love it when giant, enormous, noisy things sneak up on people.
It's a really, there's a couple of good things where they just turn around and the shark is right behind them. Ah! Yeah. Those are both good. You're right.
But at the same time, like this, if they just could edit themselves.
Oh yeah. No, and the thing is, had this been 78 minutes long, we wouldn't be this hard on it.
Yeah.
Like had they done one of those things where it's like, well, it's 8 seconds over official feature length, 67 minutes and 8 seconds. Boom. We've got a movie. Ship it off to Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Then we would have been like, you know what? You had a stupid idea, but you went with it. More power to you. But everything in this movie drags.
Yeah.
And by the way,
because they had to have all of the jokes.
Yeah, but you're right. They didn't want to cut anything. They were so pleased with themselves. It's like, no, you had to have someone else come in and say, this is the 60 minutes that is your best stuff. Not necessarily legitimately great or even good stuff, but it's like, here's the best 60 minutes of this movie. Go. Call that the movie. That second hour really killed it.
Yes.
Okay. So, the weirdest thing that's like, what was going on with the Instagram scene transitions?
I couldn't figure out if like maybe that was production stuff, like while they were making the movie.
And then they decided to turn it into scene transitions?
But I couldn't be bothered to actually look it up. So.
Okay. There's your answer then. I couldn't be bothered to look it up. It's the big takeaway for how you should feel about this movie. All right. So I guess that's where we're going to call it on House Shark. Next up is a much less ambitious film, but one with the budget to afford Dolph Lundgren.
Right. We don't know how much he costs. Okay. Shark Lake. There's something in Pine Lake, something big and hungry. Ooh. The synopsis concludes.
Oh, okay. That's not really a synopsis. That's a tagline.
Well, like, what do you want? It's called Shark Lake.
Okay. There you go.
Right there.
Okay. It's so yeah, the film, the film opens with Dolph Lundgren getting in a high speed car chase over like really not that serious a crime.
No, he smuggles animals.
He's just smuggling rare animals.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't even know why you have to have a, like, this high speed a car chase, but okay, like, it's not, I feel like fleeing from the cops is a more serious crime than the crime you're committing.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, he's got exotic animals. Well, yeah, it's like a fine thing.
Well, he fled, so they gave chase, and like.
That's true, but it's
And then he crashed into the lake, and he happened to have a shark in the back of his van.
A pregnant shark.
A pregnant shark in the back of his van for some reason.
Yeah.
And it has to be a bull shark, which can exist in freshwater.
See, so I didn't even know that, so there you go.
Oh, I actually did know that ahead of time, so at least they did their homework on that one.
Nice.
Yeah, because there's this movie, I think Lou Diamond Phillips is in it, and it's about a bull shark that swims up the Mississippi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously? So is it called Mississippi Shark?
It might not even have shark in it. Actually, maybe it does. I think it's a TV movie.
Oh. Okay. But anyway, Mississippi Shark, starring Lou Diamond Phillips.
Freshwater. So
bull sharks are a real thing. So this film, what you're saying it is As is, just like the human centipede, it is 100% scientifically accurate. This yes. movie can happen.
It can happen. Okay. It's unlikely to happen, but I suppose that it could.
Yeah, okay. Good to know. So yes, this movie, I mean, it really does feel like a sci-fi movie. Like, there's nothing that ambitious or that strange about it. The most interesting thing about it is the presence of Dolph Lundgren. That is the only thing about it that differentiates it from, you know, generic films. The rest of it is just pretty much straight line. There's a town, there's a shark, you know, solve for X.
So it's all of this stuff is Jaws. Every yeah. shark movie after Jaws is pretty much Jaws because you're just out hunting a shark.
Yeah.
And in this case, weirdly, so Dolph Lundgren was smuggling animals for some crime boss, I guess. And he gets caught at the beginning of the movie and he goes to jail, prison. And then 5 years later, he's released and he comes back home and he wants to, establish a relationship with his daughter who was adopted by one of the cops who chased him into the lake in the first place.
Yeah.
And she's like freaking out about this, wants to bend the law to her will to prevent Dolph Lundgren from seeing his daughter. And it's like, well, that's actually illegal.
It's illegal, but you understand where she's coming from at the same time. Like, I don't really blame her for that.
So anyway, so I think she's a little unreasonable.
She is, yes.
Meanwhile, Dolph Lundgren is visited by the mob boss who demands to have his shark returned to him.
Like, how? How?
And I'm like, this has the potential to be really funny.
I know.
But it's not written that way and it's not played that way. So it's like, you're making a ridiculous request. How do you expect Dolph Lundgren to get you your shark? And what are you going to do with it? It's a full-sized shark.
I didn't understand why he wanted the shark at all. Like,
in the first place?
Super clear what he was going to do with that shark.
Make some boots, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I was going to suggest that he had a giant aquarium in his house, and, like, the last thing he needed to make it perfect was a shark. Even that doesn't make the most sense.
So anyway, so like, that's just like such a weird moment in this movie.
Yeah, where the mob boss shows up at his house and it's like, you got 24 hours to get me either a full grown shark or my money.
I like the idea he gives him 25 hours.
Yeah, that would be good.
25 hours to bring me my shark.
No, although that is not a bad scene where it's like, you got 24 hours to make me a shark or the monetary equivalent. Actually, boss, you're having lunch at the Elks Club tomorrow. You have 25 hours. Unless the musician ends up being good, we'll call it 27.
Oh my god. So what happens after that? So it's open season on sharks in Pine yeah. Lake.
So a famous, British shark hunter reality show guy.
Yeah, who does a really good job of being really sleazy.
Yep, just a sleazy creep. Good he performance shows up as a sleazy creep.
To kind of like exploit this opportunity to pad his ratings, I guess.
Yep.
Immediately gets eaten by a shark.
Yeah, he is in like three scenes. I thought he was going to be around for the whole movie, but no, like he gets killed right away. And because he gets killed, they find out that there's actually three sharks in there.
Okay, I was confused because I only saw two sharks.
Yes, but they say there's three.
Said there were three. I'm like, well, then show me three fucking sharks.
I agree.
Don't see two and tell me there's three.
Yes, that is a real problem in the film. And then I'm trying to remember, did they actually kill three sharks?
Well, you're meant to believe so. Only yeah. Again, it looks like they only killed two sharks.
Yeah, it was pretty strange the way they keep talking like there are three sharks, but I don't see a ton of evidence of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing in the movie.
Shark numbers.
Okay.
To drive up interest, I guess, or fear.
Wouldn't it be great if it's like the Sci-Fi Network was like, I don't know, two sharks in a movie doesn't seem worth making to me. Did we say two? There are three sharks in the film. There is a third shark. Oh, well then, in that case.
Jackson.
It's sold. What are you doing? We've already shot the movie. We'll just loop in the word three. It won't be a problem.
No one will know.
Just keep smiling. Also, borderline incoherent underwater filming, because it has some of the worst CGI I've seen. And how can I put this? Okay, I know how big rocks are. I know mm-hmm. how big people are. And I know how it looks, you know, how it looks for the depth of the water. There are underwater scenes that are clearly shot in about 5 feet of water.
Yeah.
And then they shrink down the CGI people and sharks to make it look like it's deep. And I'm like, no, this is clearly 5 feet of water. You clearly just stood in chest-high water and lowered the camera and filmed.
But even so, even when they don't put in the sharks and the people, and you're just swimming around underwater.
You're like, that's like, really shallow water.
Too shallow.
Yeah, it's way too shallow for the plot of this movie. Well, no, and then it's like the first person that gets killed. So remember how we were always talking in the two-headed shark attack, how there'd be like people standing up to their knees in water, and yeah. then they would get attacked by a shark?
Yeah, the shark sneaks up on them.
And the shark sneaks up on them, and then later, the shark is big enough to bite a helicopter in half? You're like, how did it get into knee-deep water? What the hell is happening? Also, you couldn't find actors who were willing to go up to their waist in water?
Maybe the water's really cold. You don't know.
I don't know. You're right. That's true. I don't know. But what's so strange about it is, right, when you watch this movie, so the first thing that happens is there's a guy panning for gold, right?
And he's panning for gold in the lake. I thought that was strictly a river activity.
It is strictly a river activity. Okay. No, you would want, I mean, all rivers lead to lakes, but the point is, the gold gets carried along and it's heavier, so at the bend of every river, you know, like a little gold gets deposited and blah, 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 blah. And yes, that gold does end up in a lake, but because of the fact that gold is so much heavier, it's going to end up at the end of the river, right? It's going to end up at the mouth of the river where the river meets the lake. It's not going to be just a random place on the shore.
Well, they also make a point of stating this particular lake isn't fed by a river. It's fed by like springs or something underground or something along those
actually,
lines.
Actually, you're right. They say that. So you're right. Yeah. There would be no way for there to be gold there.
Yeah.
There's just flat out no way for there to be gold if there's not a river coming down from the mountains. Basically couldn't happen. And even if there was like gold veins down in the springs, it wouldn't get to the shore. So yeah. No, just 100%. It's a ridiculous thing to do. But we see him in like, again, Ankle deep water,
and then he gets eaten by.
He has his arm torn off by a shark.
Oh my god!
And perhaps my favorite thing about the movie is the shark tears off his arm, and then just hides the intact arm in a cubby and doesn't eat it at all.
Yes, that's right. Because there's a fish scientist who's hanging around Pine Lake to do fish science,
researching trout. You know, like you do.
And he goes scuba diving and finds this arm shoved between two rocks.
It's like, so the shark wasn't hungry? It just wanted to hide some food
for later?
Maybe he
was saving it for later. Yeah.
I honestly don't understand, like, oh wait, I was about to say, is there a, was he there to study why there had been a precipitous drop in the trout population in the lake? Because I was about to say, what has the shark been eating for 5 years?
I guess he's been eating all the fish in the lake.
Yeah, but I'm like,
why is the shark attacking people now?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Yeah. If the script does this, now we can't confirm because neither of us remembers his opening lines. But if the character says that he's been called in by the state to try and figure out why there has been a precipitous drop in the trout population in the lake.
I don't think he says that.
But if he had said that, it would have fixed the problem because it would have explained what the shark has been eating for 5 years and why it's only now just eating people because it's run out of fish.
I think what would have been more interesting is if there is a history of people disappearing in this lake.
That would have been smarter, yes. No, you're totally right that would have been the smartest option.
It's like, well, they drowned in the lake and it's really deep and we can't dredge the bottom of the lake. Yeah. So...
yeah, there's just no way to know. Sadly, we're never going to know what happened to your
right.
puppy.
And he's there to find out what really, he's there for the truth. He's a truther. He's a Pine Lake truther.
Oh my God. But I mean, that would have worked. Like, we're joking, but right? That would have worked as a story. And then the film has what I can only call, the dumbest way to, like, add tension maybe I've ever seen in my life, which is, so we've got the real threat. The adopted daughter has gone to see her dad and yep. snuck onto his boat. And so now the dad's going out to look for the shark. So at now night, she's in danger. At night, I get it.
Stupid reason.
And at the same time, her mother has taken their dog out for a walk.
Yeah. And no, the grandmother.
Her mother. Yes, I should have made it clear. The cop's mother, the little girl's adoptive grandmother, has taken the dog out for a walk, and
I'm upset that the dog was gonna die. Worked up.
But what bothered me in it when I'm watching this is, and then some a-hole kids throw a branch into the water, right? And the dog goes to chase it, and then the grandmother's like, no! And I'm like, I'm worried about the dog too, but she dives into the lake.
Yeah.
Fully clothed.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? You know there is a shark in the lake. But call the dog back. The dog's gonna listen to you. Dogs obey people. Like, the branch couldn't have gotten that far. The kid's not a javelin. Like, is not a gold medalist at the javelin. The branch didn't get that far. Let the dog get the thing and call him back. Don't dive into the lake yourself when you know there are sharks in the lake. Or, worst case scenario, throw that kid in, make him get the dog.
Or just use the kid as a distraction for the shark.
That would have worked too. Yes, see? These are all better options than jumping into the lake yourself. Don't do that, lady. What is wrong with you?
I'm just amazed that she left her 8-year-old granddaughter alone in the house.
Yeah, that's...
She went to walk her dog. Like, I get it, the girl's pretty mature for her age, but...
No, but not only is she alone in the house, but it's like her estranged dad has literally just come to town.
Yeah. Like,
this is a time when you need to keep an eye on this girl.
Right.
Like, this is like the most dangerous time. She's confused. She barely remembers her dad because she was only like 2 years old when he disappeared. Like,
Three.
Oh yeah, she was 3, right, because she's 8 now. Yes. Yeah. Right, she was super young when he disappeared. She has no good memories of him. And like, so she's got this idea of what he is in her head. And it turns out Dolph Lundgren's a great guy. Like, spoiler alert, he's a wonderful person.
Yeah, you know, great dad.
He's a great dad who just had the shadiest job in the world. But other than that, super great dad. It's a surprise, but I guess that's how they got Dolph Lundgren on board. It's like at the end of the movie, he's even like, I'll stay and face the music. It's like, I'm not going to try to run away this time.
He's got nothing to do. So yeah, at the end of the movie, after he like punches and kicks the shark to death.
No, she comes in with the anti-shark assault rifle that they established.
Oh, that's right.
For
the underwater shark gun.
he's busy punching a shark and then she comes in with an assault rifle and finishes off the shark while he's delaying it. Gotcha. Then he's like, I gotta run again. I'm like, I don't think you've committed any crimes.
Like, she's like, go on, leave before the police get here.
I'm like, what did he do?
He hasn't done anything wrong. Like, you're the one who told everyone he kidnapped your daughter, which isn't the case.
I know. So it's like, all you have to do is say, he didn't kidnap my daughter. There, problem solved.
The music, it's you, not Dolph Lundgren.
Well, no, it is funny, and I understand why she thinks that, but, you know, it was a mistaken thing, and everyone would be happy to let bygones be bygones in this situation, I assume. You know? So yeah, it's a weird scene, cause and then he's like, no, I'm gonna stick around. I was like, yeah, stick around. All that was happening was, a rich guy wanted you to go and either trap or kill that shark. It's never 100% clear. And I don't know that that's a crime. Like, the cops were not looking for you. And I don't...
Also, the cops declared open season on all sharks in the lake.
There you go. The cops are going to be fine with you hunting that shark. Like, yeah, that part of the plot made zero sense to me. That little thing...
The custodial interference. It's like, no, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You were the one who told everybody he kidnapped Carly.
Yeah, but he didn't, so...
what happened. So.
Yeah, so we should all be fine with this. Exactly. And
but then,
yeah.
Immediately after that, you see... the crime boss in the back of a cop car?
Yeah, because they needed to wrap up that part of the plot. And I'm like, what is he being arrested for?
What did we miss when we were out on the water punching sharks? Like, what's going on in town? I want to see that story.
Because literally, and it's like, it is such a small amount of time that literally Dolph Lundgren has only had time to, like, get his arm bandaged, and the guy is already under arrest. I'm like, really? I'm not sure he did anything.
Right?
So yeah, I mean, again, yeah, he sent his goons. We know, like, yeah, maybe, but we know he sent his goons to threaten Dolph Lundgren, and he desperately wanted that shark back. But I mean, even if Dolph Lundgren's going to testify him against him for being the head of the bootleg shark, the bootleg shark ring, obviously is what I mean. From, you know, counterfeit sharks. This man's dealing in counterfeit sharks.
It wasn't just sharks.
It was counterfeit sharks. We're going to tell them they're Makos, but they're really bull sharks.
No one will know the difference.
These dopes will never know the difference, and we'll make a killing. That's who the villain in this movie was. The real villain, the shark counterfeiters. Oh, God. Well, now we know the title of this movie, this episode.
Counterfeiters?
Counterfeit sharks.
I like bootleg shark operation.
Bootleg shark operation's even better. So, yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. Oh.
So, Shark Lake.
Yeah, Shark Lake. It's problematic.
To say the least.
Yeah, and that is us being kind. Seriously though, it's frustrating because it's like, it's not the worst movie we've seen, and it has the respect for its audience to get in and out in 83 minutes.
Yep. Not like House Shark.
Like House Shark. Like, and you know, Dolph Lundgren beats up a guy. It has some truly hilarious undersea CGI. Like, it's not all terrible, and it's not like it's complete garbage, but it's a film with a bunch of problems, and it doesn't make the most sense. And weirdly, like, I think the most positive thing about the movie is how it depicts, Dolph Lundgren being 100% down with his daughter being raised by a responsible person since he wasn't able to be that person.
He even says, he's like, you're the best thing to ever happen to her.
Yeah, like,
from you. What's your problem?
I have no interest in taking away from you. I think it's great you're raised by her. If you would just, like, come and see me in prison, we could have had this conversation. And you would know my position. But you wanted to freeze me out, so I had to contact child services instead. Like, it's a weirdly reasonable scene. And I don't know if it's a situation where Dolph Lundgren was like, what if I'm just playing a nice guy? I like to play nice guys. But however it turns out, it's not how this thing usually plays out in movies. And it was kind of like just a positive depiction of adoption in fiction. Like, to the fact that Dolph Lundgren, by the end of the movie, is like totally fine with her living, like his daughter living with this woman. He's not like he's trying to get his daughter back. He's like, I just want to be a part of her life. I know that you're a more stable influence than I am.
Yeah.
Like, way to go, Dolph Lundgren. I don't know whose pitch that was, but it's a very unusual for the type of movie this is. And I was very happy to see it play out the way it did. So thumbs up to Dolph Lundgren and your really great portrayal of, you know, mixed families. All right. So that was Shark Lake or Lake Shark, possibly Lake Shark.
Shark Lake.
Shark Lake. Okay. There we go. And, we pitched two movies our own this week, Space Shark. And what was Space Shark 2?
No, there was Space Sharks and then...
The one that turns out to be Shark Heist.
Shark Heist.
Shark Heist, yes. And then it turns out that the shark they're heisting is Space Shark 2's spawn, and it was a stealth sequel to Space Shark. Like, and we don't tell anybody it's a sequel to Space Shark. There's your movie.
Oh. I just want to know what the fuck this guy's going to do with a shark, an adult shark. Go get me my shark that you lost 5 years ago. I'm still really sore about that.
I am really pissed at you for taking my shark. I want that shark back, damn it. Or else. I need to know this man's story. I need to know this man's story. Okay. So yeah, that's it for this week's movies. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
Well, I guess you too can enjoy the thrills and excitement of listening to my other podcast.
People seem to love it.
Maybe you'll run into me on the street somewhere.
People are friggin' nuts for this podcast.
So if you like True Crime, check out True North Crime. And if you like romance, check out Chicks and Dicks.
And I encourage you to do both of those things. For me, obviously, constant flow of new content over at Vargelon.com. If you like the TV show Criminal Minds, and who doesn't? Very few people.
I think a lot. I don't like it anymore. I'm not sure I even liked it at the time.
Oh. Well, you know, you should listen to some of the episodes because it's like going back on this journey. But now that I'm reviewing almost done with season 10, I'm like, was this show ever good? And then you go back and you watch the first couple of seasons. It's like they could do good episodes back in the day. Uh-huh. Like, they lost that ability later, but they actually were capable of doing good episodes back in the day. So come and listen to, me and my co-host do a full-on run-through of the entire show. That's right, every single episode of the show, Criminal Minds, over at Profiling Criminal Minds at all of the places you find podcasts. Except for iTunes, but we're working on that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. <She said. laughs> Eyes shifting, darting from side to side. Do, 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 do. Anyway, is there any way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about your favorite or least favorite shark movie. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter if you're listening on your preferred podcast app. You can be sure to leave us a 5-star review. It helps other people find us.
Yay! I encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.